I'm Nicolás Rubio. I am from Peru. I'm a first year student here at Haas, and I'm the international student representative for Latin America.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So yeah, my name is Maria. I'm from Colombia. Welcome everyone. We're so happy to see you here. So excited to see so many people interested in Haas. As Nico said, we're going to cover some questions. So let's start with that.
There were a couple of questions around like living in Berkeley. They are like, what are the best spots to live in during the Haas MBA? And what is something unique about living in Berkeley? I can answer both, and then Maddie can also give her insight about them. So the best spots to live in during the MBA, I think it depends on some factors. For instance, your budget. Also, if you want to live with other people, or you want to live alone, or with your partner, and like, what kind of things is the thing that you like the most? For example, if you live in South Berkeley, there's a lot of more movement than other parts of Berkeley because most of the undergrads live over there. So you have several bars, restaurants, coffee shops, and many businesses. So there's a lot of movement. On the other hand, North Berkeley, that is actually where I live, it's a little bit more quiet. But you have more sitting down restaurants, you know, while the others are more of a bar restaurant. These are more like restaurants completely. And then downtown is probably more similar to South Berkeley. So you have a lot of bars, restaurants and stuff that you can visit to. North Berkeley, it's a little bit more expensive than South Berkeley and downtown. And there's also some people that live in the hills. So it's in the top part of Berkeley. And over there, you mostly have bigger houses with amazing views from which you can see the city of San Francisco. They're very, very nice. But again, you need to live with more people, most probably because most of them are big houses. Yeah. There's also some people, sorry, Marie. There's just some people also live not in Berkeley. Some people live in Oakland. Some parts of Oakland are really, really close to here. And some other people also live in San Francisco. And sorry, the Village, that is actually where Mari lives, and she can give more insight.
Yeah, so in terms of logistics, usually at the beginning or before the program starts, you would have a Google Doc where people just put their names, and it's sort of like a dating app or like a dating process where you can find roommates if you want to live with people. And then you have the Village, which is a special place for people who are married or who are coming with children. And it's a very quiet community. It's about half hour away from campus, and you can take the bus. We have within the things that we pay for, we have these bus cards, so we don't have to pay for the bus if you're going from the Village. And I think that's basically, Nico just covered most of the places. But yeah, most of the people have roommates. And if you come with a family or with your spouse, then you can find a place near your campus or apply for graduate housing here at the Village.
Yeah. Just like one little additional comment. It also depends on what are your goals, no? So I was coming here with my wife, and one of our goals here was to live walking distance away from Haas. And that's one of the reasons we also chose North Berkeley. We are a 25-minute walk from Haas.
Can we go to the next one?
Sure.
So what is something unique about living in Berkeley? Do you want me to start?
Sure.
Okay. Well, Berkeley has a lot of good things. I would say one of the things that's pretty unique about Berkeley, it's that's very diverse. And what that means is that you can find a lot of people from different parts of the world. And then the cuisine is actually really good because there are a lot of restaurants that are, if you are very into healthy food, then this is like a paradise because everything here is almost organic or some sort of, it has like some sort of special thing. And besides that, of course, is, well, the weather, but that's not particularly for Berkeley. It's for the West Coast in general, but I would say diversity would be one of the things that make Berkeley unique.
Yeah, I also think I agree with all of the points that Maria just said. I love eating good food, and I think Berkeley has several restaurants and different types of cuisine that you can try too. So I think it's an amazing place to live. I really love it.
Okay, what made you choose Haas after the time you've been studying here? Have those reasons been tangible? Could you please share an experience with us to help us understand why you are satisfied with your decision to study at Haas?
Okay, I can start if you want, Marie. So one of the, there are several reasons why I was trying to decide to what school to go to. One of the things that was particularly important for me was like the culture and the people that I was going to meet during my MBA. I didn't have the opportunity to actually visit Haas before coming here, but I talked to some current students and also a lot of alumni, and just talking to them, of course, they will tell me that the culture was amazing. And I think it's something that you will hear from every other school. Everyone will tell you that their culture is really cool or whatever. But here I felt that it was much more important than in other schools. And I connected with all of these people. So I felt that the culture here was gonna be a good fit for me. And once I got here, I just confirmed everything that I thought it was gonna be. I think our culture in Haas is super important. People really, really like to help each other. And we all have a great time while we are trying to develop our professional career at the same time.
Yeah, and building on that, I would say I really wanted to go to a school where people weren't, cocky or arrogant. And I think at Haas, they care a lot about their values. And given that confidence with that attitude is one of them, they take it very seriously. And I would say culture is the main reason why I chose Haas. And I think there are so many experiences that we can share, but the one that comes into my mind and it speaks about how collaborative our culture is when we do finals, right? It's a very stressful time, and people would share their notes. People making, putting together all the slides for the semester, working with each other. I can help people. For example, I have a finance background, so I help some of my classmates with that topic. And then I needed help for marketing because that's not my strong area. But then one of the persons from my group, he was really good at it, and he was able to help me out with that. So it's very collaborative. And that's something that I think it's very unique and very, very good about Haas.
That also covers the other question. Why did you choose to become part of Haas? I would also only add, trying to answer that question, is the Bay Area was also an important piece of information for me. My wife and I we are both looking to work in technology industry, and I think the Bay Area gives an opportunity that literally nowhere in the world you can find. I can say now that that is something that I have confirmed once I got here too. The amount of opportunities from technology companies, the amount of exposure you have to them is just unparalleled. What is the regular activity that helps most to keep involved with the Haas community? Chip in whenever you want, Maddie, too.
Sure.
I think there's a lot of activities that the Haas community continuously do all the time. For instance, when you start your MBA, you have one cohort where you are part of, and there are four cohorts for every year, and those four cohorts are involved in a competition called the Golden Egg. And so that competition has different levels of competition. You have some sports competition, you have there's a drug yoki, but also that's a competition where basically everyone dresses drag, you know? So men dress as women and women dress as men, and you have to organize a dance for your cohort. There's also a charity competition where people would auction different things, a service, an experience. I can say, for example, my wife and I did an auction for pisco sour tasting. So in a month or so, we're gonna host like 6 or 8 people at our house, and we're gonna do a pisco sour tasting.
I'm doing salsa dance lessons for right. for someone, so it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. So there are several competitions that they do every year for the cohorts to compete, and then at the end of the semester, one cohort is the winner. Unfortunately, Mari and I came in second place. We didn't won.
I mean, we deserve Golden Egg, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And apart from the competitions for the Golden Egg, there are some other events. For example, a consumption function, which happens one Friday every month, and they are just an event they do in the courtyard of Haas. They put food and beers, wine, and soft drinks. So all the Haas community can be together, have a good time. And they tend to you to do them by themes. So for example, there's one like international consumption function. So people from different countries get together and say, like, for example, we did a Peruvian food table. There was also some food from China, from Korea, from the Middle East, from Europe, from different parts of the world. And so this consumption function gets all the Haas community together. Mari, you wanna add any other?
No, just to let you know that there are plenty of events that we do and many opportunities. I don't know, Taco Tuesdays, Bar of the Week that happens on Thursdays. There are so many things that are always happening on campus that you're not gonna be looking for some things to do. You're gonna be looking for space in your agenda to do the things that you need to do. But yeah.
There's always stuff to do either on campus or off campus. And also there's clubs that have their own agendas. So for example, there's a beer club that they use to host a Saturday where they do beer tasting, or the wine club, they do like several trips to Napa or Sonoma. There's sports clubs too, which do different activities. I know the president of the soccer club, for example. And so we are, in 2 weeks from now, we're going to the Austin tournament, which gathers several teams from different NBAs from the US and from abroad too.
What are some of the challenges of being international student at the program? And I think that ties well with this question related to international student on a student visa. Did you find summer internships and full-time recruitment to be challenging? From a sponsorship point of view, do companies treat international students similarly to domestic ones?
And there's also one question they just did here. Out of the 250, it's actually like 290 people in the class. How many are Latinos? How many are we, like 40 something, probably around that? Yeah. So we're a big number. We're a big number of Latinos.
Yeah, I can start answering the question. Mm-hmm. It has some challenges being an international student. I guess if you want to stay, you face almost. I think that's not dependent on what school do you attend. I think in general, it's not easy, but then you can find opportunities to do your summer internship in the States if you want. I'm going to do my internship in the United States. And after you do your internship, after you graduate, you actually have 1 year of work permit. That's called the OPT. And some companies, usually big companies, doesn't have any problem with that. I've heard of other people that they got involved with smaller companies, but then they were able to stay in the US. I think that depends on the relationship that you're able to build with that employer. Some of the job postings, for example, for summer internships are just for American students, but the majority of them are not like that, I would say, especially for big companies. They're open to every background. And I would say, of course, the language, like, it depends how comfortable you feel speaking like in English in general and in a business environment. I would say not all of the Latin Americans or the LABA members, as we called, we're called like that, look for opportunities in the States. A lot of them are actually looking for opportunities in Latin America. And I think most of the people that wanted to do that were able to land an internship, at least in consulting. HAS is very big in consulting. I was doing recruiting for finance, and I didn't have any trouble with that. I did, well, I have some tips for that too, but you can actually do recruiting before starting the program, which is what I did. And it's basically you look for opportunities directly for or diversity hires. That's what they call them. So I think there are many opportunities. Some companies would directly say to you that they don't hire people without working authorization. But I think in general, that's not an issue because you can also find like plenty of companies that do.
Yeah, I agree. And Mari was one of the lucky people who did recruiting before everybody else. So she's ahead of us in the game. I am doing recruiting right now for as an international. Yes, there are some companies that don't hire internationals. Unfortunately, that's their own like internal policy. It has nothing to do with HAS, and HAS can try to help them or try to ask them to do it, but it's actually their policy. But apart from that, I don't think that we have any other disadvantage rather than the language, as Mari also said. When you're in an interview, you have to try to be as precise as possible when you are giving your answers and when you are connecting with these people. It's definitely more tough to connect in another language than in your own, for sure. But that's just part of what we have to do.
And I think it also depends like what sector are you interested in. For example, consulting and finance or investment banking and consulting, which is two big areas of HAS. It's more structured and it starts earlier. But for example, for tech, which is also pretty big at HAS, it started maybe a couple of weeks ago, or it depends on the company. I think it's less structured. So if you want to do something like that, then you have to kind of connect the dots. HAS has a lot of resources, but then sometimes it's up to you to connect the dots between all the resources that there are available. But yeah, I would say consulting is one of the main. I think there's employment report that you can access. You can look for it. I think it was published probably a month ago. And it has some pretty cool stats about where HAS is.
Yeah. I would say consulting and tech are the two biggest industries people go to. There are some people also going to investment banking. And there are a lot of people that are interested in the social sector or social investment, for example. Although the opportunities there are smaller than consulting. So at the end, some people also change into to other courses.
I'm actually seeing some questions here that are related. Yeah. Okay, the main career ambitions we already answered, I think. And then the share of Latin American women in a typical HAS class. I would say in general, I'm happy to say that we have one of the highest percentages of women within the MBA program. And that's pretty awesome. I think, I don't know Latin percentage, but I know we're many. I mean, I don't feel like a minority within the Latin American group. I think it's very balanced. We're many. And the good thing about Berkeley HAS is that we're very, California in general is very progressive. And I think that translates into the school and it's applied to school too. So we have within the faculty in the core, there's just like maybe one, but then are like many female professors who will serve, for example, for me, like who have served as role models because they're so good at what they do. For example, Annette, which is our core finance professor, she's such a badass. She's really good. So it's kind of hard to find a role model, at least in like my industry. So I think it's great. I think it's a good environment.
Yeah. I think also someone asked before about the how many Latinas are we? I think it's around like 40 something. So the highest representation there is Spain, which has 9 people in our year. I'm just talking about our class of 2020. Then after Spain, I can say with pride is Peru with 7 people. Then Mexico has 6.
Brazil.
Chile and Brazil has 5. Colombia has 2. Argentina has 1. Ecuador has 1. I don't know if Miguel counts, but well. I think that's around the people.
Yeah, but it feels like we're one big family.
We're all one family.
Okay, shall we? I think we have other questions here. How is life for married couples? I don't know if we answered that already. Maybe not. We're both married. I think it's a little bit different because my partner is not in the program. And I think, male partners aren't the majority, but it's. I think the opportunities that they have to interact with each other are more related to sports. So my husband goes to, he bikes to Tilden Park, which is a park that it's pretty close. That's another really good perk about California and like this Berkeley, is that you can go out and do sports, outdoor sports, like the whole year. Which is very life-changing. I don't know, have you seen the news? But actually, the East Coast is it's pretty cold right now. And here we have, it was sunny just like an hour ago. So that's actually makes a huge difference in your experience. And I think it makes a big difference to the experience of your partner too, because I don't know, Dan can go out and do things the whole year. And I think he's also like friends with a lot of people from the program. And I think there it's very inclusive. I don't know. What do you think, Nico?
Yeah. So I have the other side of the picture. Adri, my wife, she's also studying with us in the MBA. So it's a little bit different, our relationship. We were actually in the same cohort at the beginning. So we had every class together. So as you can imagine, whenever we went to a restaurant, we would sit on the other sides of the table. Yes, it was a little bit too much time together. No, I'm just joking. But it was great. And I feel the partners are completely involved. Actually, LAVA, which is the club for Latin America, has a VP for partners. So they are always involved in our community. Mm-hmm. All the time.
Okay. What else do we have here?
Sorry. Before you continue, Marie, sure. we are we are all like almost on time. We can keep going for a couple more minutes to continue to answer this. If you need to go, we're really sorry that we didn't finish on time. I just put an email where you can send us any doubts that you have, and we'll happily answer them as soon as we can.
That's a strategy. Maybe, things related to the student visa, but I don't know if you're yet there. I think it depends how long does it took to get the student visa issued. And then a lot of questions about scholarships, the application process that you put in your GMAT and your ESAs. Okay, lots of things related to application. I think, GMAT is one big thing of the application. They care a lot about the quant section. Of course, they see both quant and verbal. But I would say it's the standard for any top MBA school. I would say they really look into your essays. And one big piece of advice that I think I can give you is try to see, I mean, HAS is all about their defining principles. So I think if you want to make a good application for HAS, is trying to show how you demonstrate those values. That's like a big thing, or at least that's what I wasn't in my mind when I was writing them. To show through your life experiences and through your stories that you embrace or you can demonstrate those values. That's a good piece of advice. Scholarships, I think they're very dependent on also the GMAT score most of the time, but there are other opportunities to earn money. And for example, I'm being a graduate study instructor this semester, and they give you like an $8,800 free remission. And then depending on what percentage GSI is, you also get paid like a monthly income. And then there are other scholarships that are specific for certain sectors.
Yeah, there's like one, the typical NEET scholarship, and where you just need to prove that you actually need the money and need the scholarship to be a part of HAS. There's also another scholarship that is like the Dean's scholarship, that it's up to half of the whole tuition for HAS. And so there you have to complete an application, and basically they get a lot of applications in, and then they decide how much they can give you. I have a Chilean friend who received a Dean's scholarship. I don't know the exact amount of it, but it was also very helpful. And as Mari said, also the GSI opportunities, they're a huge, huge opportunity that I actually never heard of before HAS. So because if you cannot do it in your first semester, but from your second semester on, so in our position, for example, you can be a GSI for 3 semesters or the 4 of them. And so you get discounted at the end, almost like, I don't know, 30 or 40% of the whole tuition, if you sum up all of them. So that's a huge, huge opportunity for people to take. And it's not very, I mean, you have to work to get a GSI position, but it's very possible to get one.
I think we're short on time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but feel free, of course, to reach out. I think Nico posted our ISR email. It's isr-latam@list.berkeley.edu. Mm-hmm. And thank you for being here. Best of luck with your application. I think the one big piece of advice is be yourself, and don't try to be anyone else on your application. I think they value a lot the authenticity. And then if you can show them that you have the defining principles, or you can show how you through your career you have demonstrated those principles, you should be fine. But yeah, K keep it authentic.
Yeah, I agree. I think the most important thing in an interview or in any process is to be authentic, because it comes out real quick if you are trying to be someone else that you are actually not. So yeah, keep that in mind. I hope you enjoyed this and it was helpful. As I said in the chat too, I think this is recording, so I'm gonna try to find a way for us to send the recording to the admissions office so they can send it to you. If you have any other questions, just let us know through the email. And yeah, I hope you enjoy the process. It's a tough process, the application one, but it's very rewarding. Yes, super rewarding.
It's a hard one. Yeah, so
keep it up. And thank you everybody for being here.